Job chapter 19 and verse number 21. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do ye persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold not another, though my reins be consumed within me. But ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that ye may know there is a judgment. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We ask you to help us as we get into the text. I pray that you'd make this passage a blessing to your people. Give us wisdom, God. I need wisdom desperately. And I want the words of my mouth while I am preaching and the meditations of my heart to be acceptable in thy sight. And I want it to be a blessing and a help to your people tonight. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Daniel chapter 7, verse 25 says this, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of a time. Now, why did I point out that verse to you? I point out that verse to you because you know that that's the spirit of Antichrist. And I want you to understand the spirit of Antichrist is that same spirit, the devil here, that's attacking Job. It's the spirit of Antichrist. And the spirit of Antichrist wants to do one thing absolutely for sure. What he wants to do to you as a Christian is wear you out. I believe with all my heart as we get closer and closer to the coming of Jesus Christ, and I think it's literally any day now. I'm excited about that. I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think that's something you got to get, you know, worried about and afraid of and all that stuff, unless you're living in some kind of foolishness nobody knows nothing about. If you're doing your best you can to serve the Lord and you're trying to be right with God, you don't have to be all worried about the second coming of Jesus Christ, man. You don't have to freak out about the rapture. That's a good thing. The longer I live, the more I think it's a wonderful thing. I really don't want to get old. No offense to people that are old. It's a blessing to get old, amen, and still be healthy. But I don't really want to get old. That doesn't look like any fun at all to me. I heard one person say it the best, I think, getting old ain't for sissies. It'd be all right if the Lord raptures. You know what I don't want to do? I don't want to lay on a deathbed. I'm not going to act all spiritual and godly tonight. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I'm not afraid of dying. It's the process of getting there that kind of bothers me a little bit. I'm not afraid of what happens after lights are out. I know what's going on after lights are out, and that's okay with me. It's the process of kind of going through whatever you're going to go through to get the lights out. You know what I'm saying? I'd be all right if it was just like, come up hither. If all of a sudden I heard that name, and listen, when the rapture happens, you are not going to freak out. My sheep know my voice. You children, it's going to be okay when the rapture happens. If Jesus raptures us out, you kids especially don't have to be afraid. Jesus Christ loves children. He'd never hurt a kid. He'd never scare a kid. Other than to scare you out of your sin to get you saved or to whoop your hind end to get you right. Outside of that, Jesus Christ is not going to terrorize you like you've seen on some kind of movie or something that gets you all scared of the rapture. That is the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. How would you like to right now be 33 years old? Perfect? Healthy? Finally good looking? All that stuff. That's going to happen the second that rapture happens. That's going to be a great thing. And as we get closer to that time, the devil is going to increase the pressure on the people of God. I believe that. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The time shall come that they will not endure sound doctrine. They're going to hate you for the name of Jesus Christ. I know many of those passages are tribulation passages, but as we get closer to that time and the spirit of Antichrist grows in the world, you're going to see that spirit in the people on this world. I'm scared to see 24 and 25 year old politicians now getting voted in. I'm scared to see what's happening with these teenagers teenagers and 20-year-olds who are trying to tear this country down physically, tear this thing down. I'm afraid of what's going to happen in the next 10 and 20 years when they're all of a sudden now they're mobilizing to go vote. It ain't going to get better. Are we all depressed now? The devil wants to wear you out. So I believe that here in this passage of Scripture, there's some keys to making it for the Lord. And listen, I don't want to just make it for the Lord. I want to make it happy. I want to enjoy my life. I don't want to be miserable. I don't want to make anybody else miserable. And I don't want miserable people around me unless they're trying to get some help to stop being miserable. I don't want you dragging me down into your misery, man. Life is tough enough and short enough and it's real enough. You know what I mean? Like problems are real enough. I don't want to be miserable. I want to make it to the end happy, right with the Lord. And I want to get through this thing. I don't want to get wore out. One preacher said, many preachers really said, but I remember one particularly saying, I'd rather wear out than rust out. And I heard Brother Peacock say, either way, you're out. And see, the thing is, the trick is that nowadays, the pressure is on the Christian so much. That's why, if you haven't noticed, I have tried in the last few years to pull the pressure off other than in the pulpit. Not trying to make you be some kind of a soul winner that you're not. I would rather you grow into soul winning than me push you, and wear you out when you're not ready yet. Wear out your schedule with all kinds of programs and call all kinds of extra stuff besides regular church services, and just like where you don't even have a life outside of the, quote, ministry. The devil will wear you out. We try around here to share the load. That's why we rotate our Sunday school teachers and all the things that we do with the sign-up sheet to clean up. There's plenty of opportunities to serve, and I think you should serve. Amen. I think you should clean the church. I think you should get involved. I think you should find something to do for the Lord. But I don't want to wear you out trying to build a ministry. That's the trick of the devil. This world will wear you out. Your employer will wear you out. The sports programs of our culture will wear you out. Your kids will wear you out. But we don't need to be wore out for the Lord. The devil's in here and he's trying to wear out Job. And you'll notice as Job is in the process of wearing out, he's just had enough. The pressure's just building up. You'll notice one of the first things that he needs when he's wore out is pity of sincere friends. Look at this thing in verse number 21. He says, have pity upon me. Have pity upon me. O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. He needed pity for his health's sake. Do you know that? Look with me, if you would please, at 2 Corinthians. Keep your finger here in Job. We're coming back. 2 Corinthians. I want you to see a verse. He had health problems. Right? He just got through telling everybody about how his flesh is all messed up and how his breath is strange to his wife and the sickness he's got all over his whole body. He had some major health issues. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. Look at this verse. Start in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know what he just said right there? He said, hey folks, you know something? I've had a lot of tribulations. I've had a lot of bad things happen. And I found a comfort in those bad things. It was the comfort of God. And now that I've experienced the comfort of God myself, I can find somebody else who needs some comfort, and I can offer them as a channel through which the Holy Spirit can flow to where I can now somehow comfort somebody else in their tribulation. What you and I need as the devil tries to wear us out. I was talking to Brother Dave D this week. He called me, I think, yesterday. He said, I just want to check on you. We were talking about Ramona and her surgery. And he was talking about me and all my drama. And then we were talking about Andrew. And he was talking about Jenny and all this stuff. And he said, brother, and he started going through some of your names, by the way. He prays for you more than you may realize. And he said, brother, it is wild to see the way the devil is attacking so many people, and so many people are just getting wore out. I said, yeah. But you know something, brother? Through those troubles, it slows us down a little bit and it changes us. Paul is saying, I've experienced a comfort in my trouble that now that I've been there, now that I've been wore out, I can have pity on somebody else who is wore out. Job is crying out to them and saying, hey, listen, my friends, would you stop preaching at me, please? Would you stop quoting verses at me, please? Would you stop bragging about everything you know about God, please? I got my own confusions in my head right now. I got my own problems. I am worn out with the pain I'm in. Man, pain will mess your head up if you have it long enough. See, I'm worn out. All I want you to do is care. All I want you to do is pity me. If you've ever been in the hospital and had some nurse come in that could care less how she got that vein in your arm because she's having a bad day and you're already in pain? Has some doctor come in that won't listen to you, whether what you're saying is important or not, you're kind of got all that anxiety and all stuff going in your head and you're trying to remember everything you're supposed to say, and he comes in and you want to say a bunch of stuff, and he in his wisdom and his education knows that that's not pertinent to the situation, right? And then he leaves. How do you feel? How about that nurse that comes in there and she takes her time to find exactly the right vein? And gets it and says, don't worry, we're going to get you taken care of. We'll get you all set up. And then puts that thing in there like, wow, that was nothing. How about that doctor that comes in there and says, okay, so what's going on? And stands there and looks at you and listens and and doesn't patronize you and make you feel like you're an idiot, but hears you out and says this, we're going to get you taken care of. How's that feel? You know what the difference is? It's not their skill level, because the other guy might have even been a better doctor. It was pity. When you're wore out, you know what you want? You want a little bit of pity. I think a lot of times we really, in the fact that we're wore out, in our struggles, we come to church, we call our Christian friends, we talk to one another, and rather than having pity on, genuine pity on one another, actually caring about one another, actually slowing down long enough to hear what they're saying and understand what they're going through and let them know that we actually care and we're sorry. Hey, listen, instead of doing that, we're just in our own world sometimes and we're not able to be used of God to help each other make it to the coming of Jesus Christ. Instead, people are getting wore out because they're alone and not getting the help they need when they're struggling. Paul said, I went through some problems, and let me tell you what my problems were for. My problems were so that I could help you. My problems weren't even about me. I had to hurt a little bit because, you know what, I never stopped to think about what you felt like. But now that I know how you feel, all of a sudden now I care. A little bit of pity. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's one thing the Lord's really been working on me about with the older folks in church. You know, I never, ever... People say all the time, I'm on blood pressure medication, I have high blood pressure. That thought, that never clicked with me in my head. Until I'm sitting there going, well, something's wrong with me. What is wrong with me? This is weird. And I go take my blood pressure, I'm 180 and all that junk, you know, and it's like freak out mode, and then I start looking it up, it's silent killer and all this stuff, you know, you're going to have a stroke and a heart attack and blah, 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 and all these crazy things, you know. And I'm like, my blood pressure is no joke, man. Now all of a sudden I'm thinking about people in church that have high blood pressure. Now all of a sudden I'm thinking about people in church that have to take the medication and the side effects of the medication that they don't want to have to take. It's amazing how having a little episode yourself can change your perspective on somebody that has something. You know what I need, and you know what you need every once in a while? You need a little wearing out. Because it makes you able to help somebody else when you couldn't have helped them otherwise. Are you in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12? Look at verse number 7. Paul says this, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." He's saying, "You guys, you have no idea how much God showed me. God showed me more than I can tell you. God showed me more than God lets me tell you. I mean, man, God's communed with me and God's dealt with me, and I'm telling you something, man. I know that I'm called to something. I know that I got a special touch." That's what he's saying. He said there was giving me a thorn in the flesh. See where that thorn is? It's in his flesh. The messenger of Satan. Remind you of Job? The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He said, God was using me and God wanted to use me and God wanted to continue using me later. So what God had to do is God allowed, because God doesn't do this stuff to you. He's good. Don't forget that. Why is God letting this happen? Well, okay, God's letting it happen, yes. It came across his desk and he signed off on it. But God didn't do it. He said Satan had to get me with something real good to bring me down a little bit so that I could stay usable for God. So what's happening? The devil's trying to wear you out, but the Lord's using those things that are wearing you out to make you more usable for God. You wore out with the news? Okay, Jim is. Jesse is. Well, I'm wore out with the news. You know what God might be able to do with the news? That's all Satan. You know what God might be able to do with the news? Make you more usable. How could that work, preacher? Well, that messenger of Satan buffeting your mind and buffeting your heart and aggravating everything you stand for and believe in might actually make you start thinking about trying to reach some people for Jesus Christ. Might actually make you start thinking about shutting your phone off and shutting your TV off and opening your Bible. It might actually cause some of us to start getting on our knees again like we haven't in a long time and crying out to God in prayer and asking God to do something in our lives and in our church and in our communities and with people we know and love. So here's Satan working on Job to wear him out. And here's the hand of God saying, all right, you're going to go as far as I want you to go, Lucifer. And when I'm done with you, you're done. You're going to leave him alone. I'm only going to allow you to do to him what's going to make him better. You see that? And what helps in that process? Back in Job 19, it really helps to have some friends who have pity. They ought to have pity on him for his sake spiritually. In verse number 2, he says, "How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words?" What was happening is that instead of showing him pity, they're using their words to preach at him and try to correct him and try to help him all the time. And what's actually happening with their words is inside his heart, in his soul, it's getting vexed. Heavier and heavier. They're breaking him down spiritually. You know, pity from a good friend, where you can call and you can actually talk and they care and it's a safe place to go and they just love you and they love the Lord and they have some wisdom and they've been through some things so they can have compassion and comfort because they've been comforted by the Holy Spirit and now they can offer that comfort to you. That helps. Because the words of a pitiful friend comfort the soul. You feel better. You ever just be at your wit's end, about ready to lose it, come off the rails, kill somebody or something, and then find somebody to talk to, and when you get done talking to them, you feel better? You know, Christians, if we're not going to wear out, if we're going to help each other stay in church, did you hear what I said? If we're going to help each other stay in church and stay faithful to the Lord, then we need to be a pitiful friend, not a critical friend. Because the devil's going to work on them. He's going to work on them on their health. He's going to work on them on their soul. He's going to work on them on their minds. And what they need is somebody that loves them. You know what I think might be a major key to helping our children get through? Please notice the way that I said that. A major key to helping some of these kids get through is that maybe they'll remember those pitiful friends at church, those older folks at church. Maybe they'll think, I don't want to let my preacher down. I don't want to let my parents down. I don't want to let my Sunday school teacher down. I don't want to let Brother Dave down to shift my hand every Sunday. And so a pitiful friend has a lot of influence. a lot of help. They were working on him. He needed pity for his health's sake. He needed pity spiritually speaking. And notice something else in verses 28 and 29. He needed a pitiful friend for their own sake. But ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? Be afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that ye may know there is a judgment. You know what he's saying right there? Hey, you fellas that want to call down the judgment of God on me and always want to point out my faults, you got your own. You got your own. You know what happens when we start attacking people for their faults, and even when we're right, chopping at them for their faults, cutting them down for their faults? Yeah, you're okay. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Romans chapter 2. Therefore thou art an excusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. You know why I want to be a pitiful friend? You know why I want to help somebody the devil's trying to wear out? You know why I want to be kind and I want to try to help people get through? You know why I don't just cut their heads off right away, but I put up with them sometimes for a while when they need it? And you know they need it and I know they need it. But I try to put up with them. Why? Because God's put up with me. That's why. Because some preachers have put up with me. That's why. Because some Christians have put up with me. That's why. And if they hadn't have put up with me, if they'd have come at me, if they'd have tried to give me, tell me what I need to hear, put me in my place and force me to get right, I'd have been gone a long time ago. It was a pitiful friend. It was somebody who saw my foolishness and put up with me and had some grace with me and had some patience for me and loved me in spite of myself. That's the only reason I'm still serving the Lord today, because boy, I'll tell you, some of them, more than once, a couple times in my life, I was at a point where I was absolutely done. And you know what God did for me? God put a pitiful man in my way to stop me from jumping off that cliff. Amen. Well, that's just man worship. Well, you just don't know what you're talking about. Because every man God's ever sent to step in my way and help me never asked me to worship him. He taught me to worship Jesus Christ. Never asked me to believe every word he ever said. Taught me to believe the word of God. But I am telling you, my life has been changed by the course of some pitiful friends that were sent to me by God that helped me. So you call it what you want, but a guy like that, I'm going to be loyal to him. If you don't like him, that's your problem. If you don't like him, you don't like me. I'm not mature enough yet to separate the two. That stuff aggravates the fire out of me, man, because I know what it feels like to have a pitiful friend. And I want to be one. And as the devil seeks to wear God's people out, what God's people need are some pitiful friends. You know what you need? This. We need this. The Lord set this thing up, man. You don't have to come to church to build the ministry, and because pastor's going to hound me if I don't. And if you stop coming or you start backing off or slowing down and I start texting you with my very subtle, very hinty ways, it ain't because I'm hounding you or judging you or pressuring you to be in church. It's because I care. It's because I want to help. It's because I'm poking at you, hoping you'll talk to me so I can be a pitiful friend. I'm not all about taking heads off all the time. Unless they need to be taken off, but that's a different story. James chapter 5, verse 11, the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You know what the Lord is? Pitiful. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. The Lord's pitiful, and the Lord tells you and me to be pitiful. That doesn't make you weak. You understand that? I'm not looking for anybody's pity. Oh, okay, tough guy. Whatever. We're not talking about that kind of pity. I don't believe in leading by pity. We better go to church or pastor's going to be discouraged. Hogwash. I don't believe in leading by pity. But there are times in your life when Lucifer's working on you, when your spirit's broken, your flesh is broken, everything's wearing you out. What you need is a pitiful friend. Second thing, how Job got through, well, it wasn't because of pitiful friends, but he points out the fact that he needed one, he could have used one. How did Job get through? Look at his place of safety in verse 25. For I know. Folks, there are some things that I know, and I used to be a know-it-all. I hope I'm not still a know-it-all. But the things that I know that I know them. And you ain't talking me out of them. I know the King James Bible is the Word of God. I know the only way to make sense of it without correcting it is to rightly divide it. I know Jesus Christ is the Savior. I know the Holy Spirit of God indwells me and sealed me under the day of redemption. I know if I kick the bucket tonight, pull out of here and get T-boned by a semi-truck, I know right where I'm going. And I don't believe I'm in a soul sleep in some stinking grave somewhere. Cold and lonely, twiddling my thumbs, waiting for Jesus to come back or whatever. Dreaming dreams of the dead. I know for a fact that I'm going to go see my Savior. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that He shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. Folks, there's a kingdom coming on this earth. That's what we're looking for. We're not looking for President Trump to get back in November. We're not looking for Antifa or whoever else to take over. We're not looking for any of that stuff. We're not worried about Russia. We're not worried about China. What we're looking for is Jesus Christ to come back and set up His kingdom on this earth. And so I'm telling you, when I start getting wore out, when I start having old Lucifer play with my mind a little bit, if I ever think, it's been a long time since I have, but if I ever start thinking about quitting, I'm telling you, I got to remember there's a kingdom coming, and that's what this thing's all about. There's 1,000 years of peace coming on this earth. I ain't living for this thing. This is a battle. This is a fight. You understand that? That's what this thing is. And I'm thankful I get to enjoy it. I hope you know how to experience this or try to experience it or men try to lead this way or whatever. But there's something about walking in the door of your house. No? There's something about getting home. I mean, just, God gave me a beautiful wife, 4 beautiful daughters. And it's like, ain't nothing to fight for. Ain't nothing to, I mean, other than someone trying to come, but the battle's out there. I'm home. It's my family. That's a peaceful feeling, ain't it? You know what's nice is walking into this church. Some folks were asking me last night, we were at a meeting in Ohio, and some folks were asking us, how's it going? I said, it's going great. Really? Phenomenal. My church, they treat us, they treat me, they treat my kids, they treat each other. Wonderful. God has given me the best bunch of people. I couldn't ask for better. I walk in those doors, and you know what? It's peaceful. It's like, all I want to do while you're here is load you up with the ammo you need and say, all right, go back out there in the battle and we'll see you Sunday. But man, when we come here, you need a blessing? You know what you got to remember? You got to remember it ain't about this world. You got to remember it's about that millennial kingdom and then eternity future after that. Can you wrap your minds around that? Did you hear what I just said? Eternity future, eternity. With the Lord, no sin, no sorrow, no wearing out. You ain't going to sleep because you ain't going to need to sleep because you don't get wore out forever. Perfect fellowship. Perfect weather like what we've been having here the last day or two. Isn't this amazing, man? Holy cow. I get up in the morning, 50-something degrees outside, sun shining, birds singing so loud, I thought something was coming apart in the house. I went looking out back, man, you walk out back with that cup of decaf, God help us. And there's a mist all over the ground and the sun's coming through those trees. Beautiful. I cannot imagine what the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ is going to be like on this earth. You ain't going to be wore out, man. So you got to remember when you are wore out. Well, I know something. I know my Redeemer liveth. And I know He's going to stand on this earth. And every wrong is going to be made right. All that's faith will be made sight. Notice what He said here. He said, I know that my what liveth? My Redeemer. He's bought. You know why the devil wants to wear you out and get you to quit? Because he hates you living in his territory. You ain't his anymore. But you're living on his turf. He's the God of this world. He's got an agenda. And everything about you goes against his agenda. He doesn't like how you're trying to teach your kids. He doesn't like the way you're trying to raise your kids. He doesn't like the way you're trying to build a marriage. He doesn't like the way you're trying to keep your mind clean. He doesn't like the fact you're trying to tune out of the news. He doesn't like anything about the way you want to live and the way you want to glorify Jesus Christ and the way you want to witness and the people you want to reach. He hates that and he hates this church. So of course he wants to wear you out. But guess what? I don't belong to him. I belong to him. And he has so much power, he can keep me safe if he wants to. And if he decides to give me a thorn in the flesh, or he decides to let the devil whoop up on me, which I don't ask for, but he can get me through it. Because he's alive. I know my Redeemer liveth. He can get you through it. A completion is going to be made. Look at that in verse number 26. Because the Redeemer liveth, and though after my skin, worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh, I shall see God. I saw somebody yesterday I hadn't seen in years, and he was picking on me a little bit. He's an older guy. I like him a lot. Real good guy. He grabbed my arm. He was turning me like this, and he's like, boy, you're getting awful gray. I said, that don't bother me half as much as all these wrinkles, man. I don't know what in the world's happening to my skin. It's just starting to like melt off me or something. We were joking around about getting older and all that, you know. After my skin. Worms, what's next? Worms crawling in your eyeball and out your nose and back in your throat. And why? Because dust thou art and unto dust thou shalt return. You know what he's saying? After that, yet in my flesh, I shall see God. 1 Corinthians 15. This mortal shall put on immortality. You're going to get older, but you ain't. You're going to get real old, but you ain't. In my flesh. You guys need to get a hold of, get your head wrapped around this. You kids need to understand this. Heaven is not going to be some weird thing where you're the spirit Casper the ghost floating around in the air, sitting on a cloud playing an harp. Heaven is going to be as tangible as that. Tangible. It's going to be, see the holes, put your hand in the holes. Go ahead, thrust your hand in the side. And be not faithless, but believing. It's going to be as real as, it's going to be more real than what you got right now. I have this feeling, I don't know, if I'm wrong when we get to heaven, I'll apologize if God wants me to. If He lets us all forget it, fine, whatever. But I got this feeling that when we get there and look back at this, that literally this to us is going to feel like it was a dream. I think that's how much more real it's going to be in heaven, to be in the presence of God, to be with your Redeemer. I think it's going to be so much more real than this, that this is going to feel like a vivid dream looking back. That's my guess. You're not going to be able to prove me wrong. If you get there before me, you still aren't going to prove me wrong because you're going to be buried, so we'll be good. But I'll be willing to bet you. I'll be willing to bet you. When you're getting wore out, you need to remember that there's a place of safety, and that place of safety is you've got to get to the feet of Jesus, and you've got to remember that no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on around you, no matter how confused you are, no matter who's attacking you and kind of loading more of the wear out on you, you've got to remember that your Redeemer liveth, and since He's alive, you're going to be all right too. And He sees you. My last point. There's a prophecy that gives us stability when we're wore out. Look at verse 27. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold not another, though my reins be consumed within me. What's he saying? He said, I shall see. He's prophesying. What's he prophesying of? He's prophesying of the sign of the day that he's going to see God in his flesh. He says, whom I shall see for myself. How do you know you're going to see him? How are you so sure you're going to see the Lord? Because your standing is in him. Your standing is not in what you do. What you do is your state. It's what you're in Michigan. What you do walking in this is your walk. It's your state. Your state can be very, very messed up. I know born again Christian people that are drug addicts. I know born again Christian people that are fornicators. I know born again Christian people that are adulterers. I know born again Christian people that are drunks. I know born again Christian people who were saved at some point in their life and have never lost it, who don't believe anymore. How can you say they didn't lose it? Because that's their state. Their state is on this earth. Their state is Michigan. But their standing is seated at the right hand of the throne of God and ever liveth to make intercession for them. Your salvation is so wrapped up in Jesus that you didn't get it without Him and you don't keep it on your own.
Amen.
He's got it. And you have no idea what a comfort that is to a miserable wretch like me. What's going on, preacher? What are you into? Nothing. I try to live my life in such a way that if you walk up at any given moment, I can still be Pastor Mike. I mean, if I'm mowing my yard and I'm in a wife beater and shorts, you might be embarrassed, but whatever. I'm at my yard, you shouldn't have pulled up. Amen. But I try to live my life in such a way that I'm not one thing in the pulpit and another thing we walk in the doors of the kitchen. I keep calling them little girls. They're not really that little anymore, but they're my little girls, so they'll always be my little girls. I'll be calling them that when they're 40 and they're sitting out here with their sons, you know. I don't want my little girls to look at me and be like, huh, if those people only knew, you just kicked our dog's ribs in. You just overreacted and hit me in the head when I didn't deserve it. That kind of stuff. Or anything else. I don't want my wife to look at me and think, wow, he's one thing at home and he's another thing in the pulpit. But I know what a miserable wretch that I am. I'm not professing and proclaiming my own goodness. I'm telling you, it seems like when I feel like I grow spiritually, I feel like I've actually regressed. It seems the more I try to grow, the more I see that I'm not what I think I am. I'm not as spiritual as I think I am. I don't have the prayer life I think I have. I'm just a mess, man. I'm just a mess. And you know what? It makes me real thankful that I don't have to keep my salvation. He keeps it. That's a blessing, man. I mean, when you're getting wore out, maybe you need to just... I'm going to say something that some preachers will just think is complete heresy, but I don't give a flip what they think because they don't know what they're talking about. Maybe when you're getting wore out, you just need to kick your recliner back. Put your feet up. Pull up the blanket of pity. The spiritual kind, not self-feeling sorry for yourself. And just say, you know what, Lord? I'm glad you got me. I'm glad you got me. I'd rather you do that than quit. My standing is in Him. Hebrews 2:18, for in that He Himself suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. He knows what it feels like to struggle. He knows what it feels like to get wore out. Jesus Christ was wore out. How do you sleep through a storm? In a boat. Do you know how you do that? You're so wore out, you didn't wake up. Did you not look at the Lord's ministry and how God blessed it and how many people were there and how selfish they all were with Him? They never once looked at Him and said, man, His eyes are all baggy and black. We need to leave Him alone. Let Him get some rest. I'll ask Him next time, like you guys do with me when you don't even need to. They weren't at all respectful of Him and of His time and of how He was feeling. They weren't thinking of Him at all. They just wore Him out. So He understands what it feels like to be wore out. Can you imagine the pressure the devil put on Him in His temptation? Do you hear what I said? Can you? I can't. It literally gives me chills thinking about it. It scares the fire out of me. I cannot imagine the pressure the devil put on that man. He was trying to tempt him. He experienced something Job didn't even experience. He knows what it feels like. And when he sees one of his that he loves getting wore out by his adversary, the devil, trying to be faithful, trying to occupy till he comes, trying to hold the fort, trying to do right, and he sees them, they're going through a hard time, and they're going through bereavement, and they're going through health problems, and they're going through spiritual problems, and they're going through temptations, and they failed, messed up again, but their hearts broke over it. To succor them that are tempted means to come up under them and strengthen them and pick them up. Almost like in the old days, they'd take ropes and they'd, when the ships were in a bad way, they'd run those ropes underneath the ship and pull them up on both sides to help hold that ship together in a storm. That's what Jesus Christ does for you. Amen. When you're wore out. You got to know Him. You got to be close to Him to experience that. Instead of just continuing with your wore out and your little circles you're running in your mind and your mind games and being all self-obsessed and withdrawing and feeling pity for yourself and not wanting to talk to anybody and just throwing your little spiritual fit, you got to understand He cares and He's there to help you, undergird you, to strengthen you, to get you through it. He understands what it feels like to be tempted. Prophecy of stability is the knowing I'm going to see the Lord. And He says in verse 27, though my reins be consumed within me. That the reins in the heart, throughout the Bible, the reins are what directs a man. It's which direction he's going to go. And Job is saying at this point, my reins, my direction, my will, my desire to go anywhere is gone. I don't even know what to do. I don't know how to turn. I'm just shocked, man. I'm shocked. I don't even know what to tell you. I'm bankrupt. I'm empty. What got him through it? I know I'm going to see God. I know my Redeemer liveth. And in that standing is His strength. And the Scriptures prove it. Look at verses 23 and 24 and we're done. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. He had no idea what he was saying when he was wore out. But God was working, and he was trying, and he was drawing close to the Lord, and he was calling out to his Redeemer, and he was calling out for that stability and that strength. And as he did, he's saying some things, and God Almighty, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is moving him to say those things. And his desire was that I could write these things down so I could pass them down to the next generation so that I could take the things that I'm going through and they could be used for somebody else to learn from them. And God said, you got it, buddy. And the story's not even over yet. He's not through his problems yet. But God says, you got it. And then God puts it down in this perfect and holy book, written in the rock forever, never to vanish. And you can open it tonight and look at it and say, well, that's what I'm supposed to do when I'm wore out. God was using that man in ways he could have never been used without the problems that he had. So here's the thing. Well, Pastor, my problems are my own fault, so oh well. I'm useless. It's over. I just have to suffer and deal with it. Oh, Pastor, my problems are the fault of somebody else, and it's just how it is. And really? So if your problems were your own fault, and it was wicked, and you were stupid, and you did mess up, who was it that was pressing you? Who was it that was tempting you? Who was it that was pushing you? It was the devil. And now that you're the Lord's, or now that you've gotten right and given yourself back to the Lord, He can take those things. Even all your mess that's your fault. And He can take it and put it together in a big pot, a big cauldron, and He works it together for your good and for His glory. Because all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. You know what wears a lot of us out the most? It's our own failures. You don't have to be hard on me. I am so much harder on myself than anybody else can be on me. When I get called out and I know I'm wrong, you have no idea. I hate it, man. I've been wrong so much in my life. I'm such a blockhead. I'm so stubborn. I'm so stupid. I make so many messes. I hate it. I beat myself up more than anybody else can beat me up for it. And sometimes the devil gets advantage of you and starts to wear you out by overactivating your conscience after you've... Most of us have an underactivated one, by the way. But once you've gotten right and asked for forgiveness and tried to put that thing behind you, the devil will jump on your back with a guilt monkey and wear you out. And that ain't the Lord. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I am thankful that He's still alive today and that He is my strength. He is my hope. He is my stability. And because of Him, I can make it. Let's pray.